may be seated. Once again, would you grab your Bibles and this time open to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to be reading verses 6 through 15. You can find that on page 1179 if you are following along in the provided Bibles. Let us now hear God's holy word. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, and he is head over all rule and authority, and in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of the flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. So far, reading in God's holy word, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God and Father, would you fill your spirit and fill your people with your spirit so that this text might be illumined to us, that we might see our fullness in Christ, that we might walk in him, that we might direct our entire lives by thinking correctly, by thinking rightly, and having received Jesus Christ the Lord. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, what is the worldview that shapes your thinking? What do you find for your hopes, your dreams? Where do you find your fullness, your fulfillment in? What shapes the way you view the very purpose of your life? That you might have flourishing, productiveness, and direction. See, Paul is writing with a burden for the church in Laodicea and Colossae, a church that faces false teachers that are giving them very fine-sounding arguments, arguments that would shape their thinking about the purpose of life, about what they are here for and what they can find their fulfillment in. And in many ways, it seems like very good solutions to their problems, very good solutions in ways to find fulfillment in this life. But ultimately, as Paul shows, these false teachers base their entire thinking on things of the world and on traditions of men. They are empty. See, we live in a world that also seeks to shape our thinking. It seeks to direct the purpose of our lives with these philosophies. A recent philosophy that I've run into is this new movement called the FIRE movement. It stands for Financial Independence, Retire Early. And ultimately, the goal of this movement is to raise as much money as possible in the early part of your life so that you can retire early, that you can have freedom from the constraints of jobs. They encourage you to sacrifice as much as you can in the cost of living so that you can retire early. They would sacrifice children, relationships, living standards, many different things so that they can invest that money and live off the gains each year. They base their entire lives on financial freedom so that they can live the rest of their lives in retirement as this ultimate goal and purpose of their life. And one of the interesting things is in following one of these people that claim to be a part of this movement was that in the past year, they reached this goal at under 30, that he could live in the same lifestyle without ever having to earn another cent. But the issue came that suddenly, when he reached this goal, it wasn't enough. He needed more. There wasn't a fulfillment even in reaching the goal that he had placed. Now, for us, it might not be wealth. But there are competing philosophies and worldviews that still seek to take us captive. One cannot forget that line from one of the movies where a woman, in confessing her love for a man, says, "You complete me." Again, there's a grain of truth to this, isn't there? That God Himself said it's not good for man to be alone. But does that mean that those who are single are not complete? Does it mean that our fulfillment in life can only be found in our love for a spouse or a spouse's love for us? Now, Augustine said in one of his books, The Confessions, "Our hearts are restless until they find rest in you." This confession, or in the Confessions, it feels very much like Ecclesiastes. And as Augustine recounts his personal pursuit for joy, peace, and fulfillment through all sorts of philosophies, it isn't until he finds rest in the work of Christ Jesus that he finds fullness. All the other philosophies that he dabbled in left him as a slave to his lusts. They were empty and could not deliver him. And so this is Paul's point here. This is what Paul wants to press upon the church. That if you are going to found your hopes, your dreams, your purpose of life in anything else outside of Christ, you will never be complete. Everything, every thinking outside of Him is empty, is deceitful, is according to the traditions of man and elementary principles of this world. And so it's in Him that the church is made complete. In Him we have all that we want, And in him, he is our circumcision, his our salvation, and even our victory. It's only when we are in him that we can say, I shall not want. With this theme in mind, let's look at the text. And we'll look at this text in 3 points. First of all, we'll look at that command to walk in him. Second of all, we will look at the fact that everything else is empty without him. And thirdly, we will see our sufficiency in him. Now, Paul tells the Colossian church, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Now, when we first of all hear these words, receive Christ Jesus, we are probably thinking this it means that we are to receive him by faith, that we are to receive the person of Jesus Christ. But if we look at the context, what Paul is referring to is those doctrines, those teachings, that knowledge that is the mystery that is revealed to them and has been delivered to them from Epaphras. He wants them to have their thinking shaped by a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Whenever this word is used, it is used to talk about receiving a certain body of doctrine. Here's a couple of other examples from Paul's writings. First of all, in 1 Corinthians 15:3, he says, for I delivered to you as first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He also says to the Galatians, as we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, he is to be accursed. See, Paul wants their minds, their knowledge, to be founded on that which they've already received from Epaphras. He wants them to continue in that faith, firmly established and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven. Everything has to be brought under this umbrella of according to Christ. And a part of that teaching is that he is Lord. And it's not merely saying here that he is our master. Because remember in chapter 1, where it gave that glorious vision of Christ Jesus, it showed that he was the eternal, sovereign, unchangeable God, that he ruled over all. And so this is what you have to receive. And this is what shapes your very life and direction and goal. That's what he means by going on to say, and command of the people, so walk in him. Walk in him. Not apart from him, not away from him, not behind him, but in him. Because he is the Lord, and you are a part of his beloved, or the kingdom of the beloved Son. And so you must walk in his ways, as he is commanded, having him as your very goal and purpose of life, that you want to please him. The goal of our life is not to find happiness, joy, rest in the things of this earth, but to direct our steps and our lives according to his ways and his teachings, because as his disciples we are taught to observe all that he has commanded us. But we can only do this, as he goes on if we are rooted in Him, established and having this good foundation of Jesus Christ and that wealth of knowledge and wisdom that is found in Him. There are in California these great big trees. They are redwoods. And in order for these trees to grow, they have to have this very distinct place where the nourishment is right, the environment is right, everything is right in order for them to grow to such great heights and to stand so tall. And so that's what Paul is saying. You need to be rooted and established in Him to grow and be built up in that maturity. You need a good foundation that is strong so that you will not be toppled over by the troubles that come about in this world. You are to be rooted and built up in Him. And this will bring about an overflowing of gratitude, an overflowing of thanksgiving, which has been an emphasis of Paul's throughout this letter. So this is what he tells us to walk in Him. But he also cautions them about that emptiness without Him. Paul now begins to teach a little bit about these false teachers. And he first of all gives them a warning that they are not to be caught unaware. The force of this command is that the Colossian church is to watch out. Be on guard. As Peter says, be sober-minded. Do not fall prey to your enemies because they are seeking to enslave you, to take you away as prisoners of war and bring you back into that kingdom of darkness. So watch out. He wants them to be captivated by Christ and not by these empty and deceitful philosophies. And so he wants them to have this sort of wartime mentality. He wants them to consider the age that they live in. They belong to the kingdom of God, but they live in a present evil age where there still is an enemy. There still is those who seek to bring them away and enslave them. It is a world that is fraught with dangers and sins that so easily entangle. It is filled with empty and deceitful philosophies that seek to carry us off as spoil. Do you view the world this way? Do you view your life as being lived out in a present evil age that is seeking to draw you away? Or are you pretty apathetic? Paul does not want you to be caught unaware. Watch out. There is a devil seeking you to devour you, prowling around like a roaring lion, as Peter says. But Paul goes on to talk about the character of these philosophies. Now, I'm only going to just kind of touch on these descriptions of the philosophies because Paul goes on in verses 16 and following to describe what the teachings of that philosophy are. But commentators all agree that it's not simply philosophy that is the problem here. Philosophy is a good thing because it simply means a love of wisdom. And we ought to love wisdom because in Christ is hidden all the treasure of wisdom. But of course, what the problem is with this philosophy is that it is devoid of Christ. It is apart from Christ, and therefore it is empty. It is deceptive, as he calls it. It is an empty deception. These words, philosophy, empty deception, traditions of men, according to the principles of this world, in many ways speak in the same way that the Bible speaks about idolatry. What is idolatry? It's something that's man-made in which you serve. That you worship. You see it as your goal, your purpose, your end. You can think about the promises. And in many ways, these things have an appearance of wisdom. But they are only lies. Just think about the promises of drugs and alcohol. It promises pleasure and numbness from pain. But in the end, those who become addicted to such substances become slaves to the drug rather than slaves to God. It is an empty deception. But we don't need to be alcoholics to know the emptiness of idol. It may not be an alcohol, but it can be anything that becomes the very reason that we live. The very shape of our thinking that this is my goal, this is what I find hope in, this is what I rest in. It can even be the seeking of approval of men. Any of these things can become idols. But they are merely man-made. They are traditions of men. They are empty. Because only that which is of Christ has substance. It is only that which is of Christ that has truth. All these things that are apart from Christ do not fulfill. They do not give us fullness. And so, people of God, there are only two ways to live. Paul is emphasizing there are only two ways to live. Either you will live according to Christ as your very goal, your purpose, who is the very beginning and the end. He is your all in all. Or you will be taken captive by empty philosophies and deceit. Everything outside of him is only empty, deceptive, and enslaving. And so Paul goes on to talk about our sufficiency in him. And it looks like, due to time, I'm just going to look at verses 9 through 10, and I'll continue next week looking at verses 11 through 15. But look at those words. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Here, Paul is describing that God dwells in Christ. It speaks of that incarnation of Jesus Christ in which deity comes in bodily form. The very fulfillment of that tabernacle where God dwelt with his people. But here is the fullness of the deity in bodily form. But then he goes on to talk about, in him you have been made complete. The words quite literally there, you have been filled. He is your fullness, your fulfillment. And he is head and rule and over all, he is the head over all rule and authority. We live our lives according to Christ because it's in him that we find our fullness. Nowhere else. Our hearts will not find rest until we rest in Christ and what he has accomplished. Because notice the past tense here. We are full in him. That is who we are. Full in Him. And He is that rule and authority over our lives. And so in conclusion, people of God, when we grasp who Christ is and who we are in Him, then we can have that rest and have that confession that David has when he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Because there is nothing outside of Christ that can fulfill me. There is nothing outside of Christ that can empower me. There is nothing outside of Christ that can make me more complete. What is it that we need that Christ does not have and does not give us? Amen. Gracious God and merciful Father, what wonders it is of what we have found in Christ, that we are complete and sufficient. And so, my Lord, would you fix our hearts and give us that great vision and knowledge of Jesus Christ, that we might be captivated by Him, knowing Him as the Creator, the Redeemer, and the One who reconciles us unto Himself through the work of the cross. May we look nowhere else for our fulfillment. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.